All right. Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Jason Dingus. Thank you for joining me. This is Lost Rhetoric, a dim space for light hearts where we discuss all manner of odd. This week, Emily Donat is back. That's right. The Donut and the Dingus. It's back on. You might remember Emily from episode 10 when we discussed the Lonnie Zamora incident. This week, we're going a completely different route. It's another psychedelic journey. We're going to be talking about DMT, how it kind of correlates with or is relatable to experiences of near death, what it all means, where do you go, is it all real, what the fuck is happening out there. That's what we're going to get into tonight. But before we do all of that, let's talk about last week. A great conversation with the old man about alien abduction. It really was a good conversation. That was probably the best one I've had with him so far on this show. We talked about statistics, the kinds of people who get abducted. And then we just, threw out some theories about alien abduction in general. One thing that I wanted to mention that wasn't mentioned last week was the possibility of alien abductions, I guess especially in America, being an exchange program. Because, we talked about how there's possibly a treaty that was signed by President Truman allowing a certain amount of people to be abducted for research purposes, I can only assume. But maybe they're allowed to abduct human beings in exchange for technology and access to that technology. I don't think this is a new concept or anything like that. It just wasn't explicitly mentioned in our discussion, even though we kind of skirted around it. But I firmly believe that is quite possible. It's a firm maybe in my brain. But yeah, if you haven't listened to that episode, go back, check it out. It was a good time. Always a good time talking to the old man. And let's get into what we always get into. Who listened to that episode the most? Who listened to episode 41 the most? I'm going to do a top six this week, because it's just easier that way. Coming in, number six, Bakersfield, California. Buck Owens country. Welcome to the top six, I guess. Number five, Compton, California. Kendrick Lamar, DeMar DeRozan, NWA country. Welcome, Compton. I don't think you've been in the top five. Number four, down from number one, Aloha, Oregon. Remember when I was talking about the numbers being real or not? I must have pissed some people off. The numbers are way down. Still in the top five, though. So thank you, Aloha. Number three, Columbus, Ohio. Still in the top three. So thank you, Columbus. Number two, Portland, Oregon. Always up there. And number one, back on top. It's been a while. Richmond, Virginia. So thank you all for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Obviously, I do it for you. I do it all for you. Now, what am I listening to? Well, a guy reached out to me. He emailed me and he said he liked the show. And I said, thank you. That's really nice of you to say. And then he said, hey, man, I got this band. It's called Old Coffins. We're from Wichita, Kansas. And I checked it out, and it's pretty damn good. Three guys with great names, Salem, Waller, and Fiscus. With some names like that, they got to be doing something good. So, they're like outsider, weirdo, kind of rock and roll, man. I mean, they got some cool sounds, cool riffs. They do some cool cover songs. So check out Old coffins. Loretta Lynn has an album out, a new album called Still Woman Enough. And boy, does she prove it. She's still tough as nails and not taking any shit. You know, the songs definitely prove that with the lyrics. But, you know, she redoes some of her old classics in a new way. And she does some kind of gospel Christian cover songs and, you know, stuff like that. Stuff I don't really care for, honestly. It's just, you're like the 50th person to record that song in the last 5 years, Loretta. But, you know, I'm not going to knock her for it. I'll just skip it. But the album, all the original songs, always great from her. So check out Still Woman Enough by Loretta Lynn for that old-time country, old-time kind of Christian country vibe. Third Face is a band I just discovered from Nashville, Tennessee. They have an album out on Exploding in Sound Records called Do It With a Smile. And they're great. They're just punk as fuck hardcore, you know? They got some noise rock and grindcore tendencies, but it's just all hyper energy. Pretty creative songwriting, I think. They're pretty noisy. I like that. I like their style. But yeah, check out Third Face. One word. And the last band I'm going to mention here is Gag from Olympia, Washington. They're on Iron Lung Records. I've been listening to a couple of their albums. They got one from 2016 called America's Greatest Hits. Killer record. Great album cover. Fuck, I fucking love that album cover. And they got one from 2020 called Still Laughing, which is another great album cover. Totally different style. But, you know, they're hardcore punk as well. They might be the best hardcore punk band in the country. They do some really, really cool shit. They're kind of the kings of vocal reverb or delay or whatever fucking effect it is. But it's not annoying. It actually sounds good. It fits. So, yeah, Gag, always good. Check them out. And a podcast I got to mention that I've been listening to. They got a couple episodes out. It's my brother. You might remember him from the Dinges Family Christmas Special. He started a podcast with three old friends from Winchester, Virginia. Chris, Wayne, and Zeb. They started a show called Brothers with Opinions. And boy, do they have opinions. So, you know, the whole concept of the show is, you know, they get together in a room. And they kind of, my brother facilitates the whole thing. And he's like, COVID-19, what do you think, fellas? And they give their opinion. And then he'll say something like, all right, moving on. Social injustice, what do you think? And they'll have a discussion about it. And their last episode, they went through kind of their whole opinions on gun control and all the recent shootings in Colorado and Georgia and things like that. So yeah, to me, it's just like being back home, but to you, it might spark some really good conversation. 'Cause you know, it's just four dudes from, different backgrounds talking, how they feel about some really kind of hot button issues. So check out Brothers with Opinions. I'll post a link on the show notes. And that's what I've been listening to, folks. Now, speaking of show notes and posting things, I got an announcement I'm pretty excited about. I just launched LostRhetoric.com. That's right. I have my own website now, and the impetus behind starting the website and not just having the Buzzsprout page, which is, you know, got all the information on it, is I have merchandise for sale and I needed a place to sell it. So check out LostRhetoric.com. Not only can you find all the episodes and all the show notes and all the links and all of the Spotify playlists, you find all that stuff on the website, but there's also a store where you can buy t-shirts, koozies, coffee mugs, pins. I got some stickers. I feel like I'm missing something, but yeah, I got stuff for sale. That's a pretty big deal for me. And I've never done it before. I've never ran an online store. I've never tried to sell stuff online all by myself. So, you know, get on there, check some stuff out. If you like what you see, definitely buy some stuff. I would greatly appreciate it. That's why I made it. It's all for you guys. So check it out. I got some nice flat rates going on for the shipping cost. Got a domestic flat rate. Canadians got their own special flat rate. And then I got some international costs going on. I'm still trying to navigate this whole thing. So, you know, check it out. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about the website. And yeah, let's fucking do this, folks. Let's get some Lost Rhetoric merchandise into your hands. I would love that. So yeah, that's going to be the new HQ is LostRhetoric.com. I'm going to post hopefully some more content than just the episodes in the, you know, the basic blog style, media player, show notes style. I'm going to try to, you know, post more content, maybe between episodes, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All I know is I have a website, I have a store, I have merch, and I'm excited about it, and you should check it out and buy some shit. And let me know what you think. I got to give a big shout out to Jeff Bugby from Film Church Podcast, who's also been on this show. He built the website for me, so thank you, Jeff. And yeah, man. Yeah. Check it out. Oh, and I also went ahead and started a Twitter account. First Twitter account I've ever had in my life. You can find me at Lost_Rhetoric. And yeah, check that out and follow me there. I'm going to try to use that as often as I possibly can. Seems like the right thing to do. So a bunch of new shit going down. All right, let's get into the exhumed excerpts from the Tomb of the Promulgated. This week, got a story, couple stories, from the early 80s. And another thing I got to announce real quick, I got prescription glasses for the first time in my life. I just got them yesterday. And I'm wearing them right now. And man, they really fuck my head up. I can see more clearly, but it feels like I'm on some sort of drug when I walk around. I'm not used to them. So here we go. I hope I read better than normal. Let's see. What do we got? New Hampshire, October 31st, 1983. Rochester and Dover is where the area this story comes from. Several area residents, including a police officer and a Rochester city councilman, reported seeing an unidentified object flying just above the treetops between 8 and 9 p.m. Neither the FAA in Concord nor Peace Air Force Base reported low-flying crafts in the area at the time. Police officer Stephen Hamill said he saw an oval-shaped craft flying just above the Route 16 drive-in about 8:30 p.m. He said he drove to the drive-in where the craft hovered over a grove of pine trees before shooting behind the drive-in screen. The object, which had two pair of lights on either side and was the size of a large helicopter, then dipped and flew off and disappeared. Another Rochester resident said she saw the craft while driving on Route 16 between 7:45 and 8 p.m. She reportedly followed the low-flying object, which her son said looked like an octagon, up North Main Street. At that point, the white lights changed to red, except for one that turned from white to yellow. She got out of the car with her son, and they heard a humming sound as the craft took off back toward town. just before 8 p.m., Marilyn Dupuis, I think is how you say it, was headed toward the Lilac Mall when she saw a low-flying, round-shaped object. She said the brightly lit craft was going very slowly and seemed to be hovering near the mall. Sharon Dub of Dover and her husband were returning to their home about 9 p.m. when they saw a triangular-shaped, metallic-looking object with huge white lights and a red light in the middle. The object made a faint whirring sound and did not fly like conventional aircraft, but appeared to hover and change direction rapidly. The next morning, public service officials reported a power outage in approximately the same area as most of the sightings. A spokesman said that the cause appeared to be a routine fault on the line that causes a short circuit at the power station. So we got a blackout and we got three different shaped crafts. It's like a child's book of learning shapes in the sky. I mean, what do we got here? We got a circular craft, a triangular craft, a hexagonal craft. Pretty wild. I don't. It could be the same craft. Seen from different angles, or it could be a whole bunch of different crafts. And the fact that it's near an Air Force base is always a bit suspect. You never know. Never know if it's from out of this world or from this world. And, you know, possibly reverse engineered. There's another little story, a little blurb I wanted to tell from the same issue here. It's pretty funny. That's why I wanted to read it. It's pretty short. It's from Texas. January 27th, 1984, in 7 points, Carolyn Green reported to police that she and her 7-year-old son, Timothy, were, quote, forced into a ditch, unquote, by some unknown entity about 8:15 p.m. She said she was driving about 55 miles per hour when the force brought her car to a halt in a roadside ditch. She said, "We were driving along and all of a sudden my lights began flashing off and on. Then something pulled me off the road, literally took control of the steering wheel." Green said neither her nor her son saw anything until after the car had come to rest. "Then we noticed some red flashing lights above us," she said. "It," meaning the lights, "kind of hovered over us, then came right into the car. It lit up the whole car. My hair was standing on end. My son was frightened," she continued. Green says she doesn't know how long she and her son were in the ditch. When she, quote, regained, unquote, her senses, she found herself speeding down the highway. Pretty scary. A policeman pulled her over and issued a ticket for driving 75 miles per hour. She told him what had happened, but he apparently thought she was just trying to get out of a ticket. Pretty scary for little Timothy, don't you think? Kind of end up in a ditch, kind of black out, and then your mom comes too, speeding down the highway. Whew. That's a bad day. I mean, I hope it's a spacecraft, you know, kind of bugging her out and not any other sort of mental or substance abuse problems. Like, you got to think, in that situation, a UFO is the best case scenario. You know what I mean? But that's the exhumed excerpts from the tomb of the promulgated. I hope you enjoyed them. I will be posting a link to it and everything else that I mentioned on LostRhetoric.com. Check it out. That's where you can find everything now. The Spotify playlist that I will be putting up, and everything I want to share. So let's get into this discussion. Let's get into this talk. Here's me and Emily Donat.
Hut hut.
How you doing, Emily?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm going through a little life transition right now, but I'm just taking it as an opportunity to grow.
Well, I guess that's kind of what you have to do to remain healthy.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
to some extent.
I could just stop and like cry for 2 years. Kind of what everybody's been doing
Yeah,
recently.
I guess you can catch up.
I'll catch up.
You catch up, but you just got back from Aruba, yeah?
I did, yeah.
That'll do it.
Yes. Yeah, so the like this difficult thing is happening in my life, and my best friend from home from Indiana was like, "Well, come to Aruba with me and my husband."
Wow.
Was like, "Okay." So, I got like a quick COVID test and I went. And I stayed in an Airbnb by myself and like did a day with her. And we rode UTV, which is like a golf cart on steroids. It was really crazy. And then the next day I did an ATV by myself, and that was really fun. So I think I need to get a motorized vehicle of some kind.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah.
That's some cathartic activity
Yeah.
for sure.
I was like, "Oh shit, hold on. I get better. Hold on."
Hold on. Yeah. The universe is giving you some good, I don't know, a good invite.
Yeah, for sure. And
But
I like to say yes if I
yeah,
can.
absolutely. But you're back, and one of the first things that you're doing is being a guest on the show again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's keeping my juices flowing with fun things,
Well,
challenging things.
the juices are definitely going to get flowing. We're going to get into DMT and some NDEs. It seems like we're going to tackle or, discuss,
A little bit. We're gonna dabble in the NDE.
dabble a little, because I've done episodes on ayahuasca, and I did my episode on synthetic psychedelics, but that didn't involve DMT because my guest has never done on that episode has never done DMT. But DMT, ayahuasca being like the natural,
Yeah, the long form.
the brewed version of tea, and of course there's synthetic DMT.
I think that now I'm not exactly sure, but I think that what I have had and what I have right now in a special vape cartridge is derived from plant material, but it's not the same, it's not the same as the ayahuasca brew. You'll have to look it up online how to make it, but you can make it. It's just it's chemistry.
I watched I don't know, do you know that Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia
Oh,
is
I
in?
love that. Yeah, I
Yeah,
love
I've
that show.
the only episode I've ever watched, but my two good friends from the Post Rhetoric podcast love that show.
Yeah.
And I finally watched an episode, and it was the DMT episode. And yeah, he talks to folks down in Mexico who do it the traditional way. They dig up a specific root in one of
Yeah.
the plants that produces this DMT. And they do it, by hand. And then he went to a lab basically and hung out with a guy while he synthesized it. And
Yeah.
it's all the same stuff at the end of the
It's all
day.
the same stuff, and that's kind of what he has been. Hamilton Morris, who's actually, if anyone likes film, he is Errol Morris, the documentary filmmaker. That's his son,
Oh, no
is
shit.
Hamilton.
I think
Yeah.
now that you say that, I feel like
It was in there somewhere.
I've been told that, yeah. Now that you
Yeah.
mention it. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. But that episode was
Super
cool
smart.
because Yeah, it's nice. It's crazy that you can have it both ways and have the same effect.
And it's essentially the same thing.
Right.
And he's going around trying to, there's a new episode recently about the, I can't put my finger on it right now, the toad venom.
Oh, right.
I can't quite think of what the name of that is. It'll come to me, but
I couldn't tell you.
Well, it's endangering these poor toads.
No shit. And, oh, God.
Yeah. So he's saying, hey, we can synthesize this, like, leave the damn frogs alone. And then all these old timers are like, it's not the same, man.
Right.
And he's like, well, actually it is, but it's, okay, we're not going to argue it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people, traditionalists need that toad venom.
Yeah. They're like, I need the spirit of the toad.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, but... It's in there somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, you can have grandma making grandma's recipe, or like your aunt making grandma's recipe, and you're not going to like your aunt's version as much as your grandma's, but it's the same fucking thing. It's just not going to be as good, I guess. But it's all mental, maybe. Or maybe your aunt's a shitty cook. I don't know.
You know, probably. I know that when I try to make my grandma's and even my mom's recipes, I fail. I get close, but it's not the same.
But yeah, but these chemists with this DMT stuff seem to have it down. And
yeah.
So tonight you wanted to get into I guess basically where DMT, I guess, takes you. And like we've been saying, whether it's the traditional straight up, the leaf and the root kind of concoction, or the synthesized version, everyone seems to go to the same, well, not the same place, but essentially kind of
similar experiences.
So what is this place? How would you describe it? And I mean, you've been there, right?
I've been there. I haven't gotten all the way through. I think there are different sort of levels. I'm trying to really, really break through with this next one.
The vape.
The vape. And then it's nice because it's my own personal pan pizza. I can take as much as I want. Well, the other time I was sharing, and I didn't want to bogart that DMT, but right. I have this idea that the place that DMT takes you is a real physical place. It's like a real realm which exists simultaneously with our realm, but it's hidden from us, which I think a lot of us touch when, if we try psilocybin or LSD, you're like, oh, I see. There's, you know, but there's no form in terms of, you are no longer in the room. You are no longer in the woods. You are in hyperspace, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then, as I've mentioned in our previous conversation, there's a gentleman, an expert on DMT and other hallucinogens, named Terrence McKenna.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy is hilarious, man.
Yeah, he's so smart. He's so funny. And he has a funny little voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he lectures for hours, just jabbering.
Right.
But he also sort of explains it as a place where these entities will come and greet you, and they're excited. They're like cheering when you arrive. They're like, wow, you visit so infrequently. We're so happy to see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
Munchkin Land.
It's a little like Munchkin Land, but he was describing these elves as, this is so weird. It's like he knew they were elves, but he was describing them as like bejeweled Fabergé egg basketballs bounding toward him. and like joyful, gleeful, and they were elves. So I don't know if you actually see an elf in elf form. I've not encountered this. And then as you go further, apparently there are, and again, multiple people report this same experience of running into like futuristic reptile aliens or praying mantis type people who are kind of interacting with you telepathically and pulling pain out of you, pulling like doing a little surgery on you, pulling out your pain, showing it to you.
Right.
And you get gain some understanding. And also they create objects which appear like in midair. They're working, and they want to show you, here's what I've made. Isn't it amazing? And as a human seeing this, you're like, I don't know what the hell that thing is, but yes, it's amazing. I wish I understood it. So that is, I think, the depth of this place. Now, I have just kind of broken through to what I would call, there's an experience of sort of being shot out of your body. Some people have. I had an experience of having the pipe in my hand, and everyone around me was like, okay, good, yeah, whatever. And then the pipe sort of turned into a spiral light, and the people kind of fell away, and I kind of laid back, and I was in darkness, and I was sort of shooting through darkness, like a light at the end of the tunnel, which is why I was thinking it may be like a near-death experience.
Right.
And then I was greeted by the most beautiful creature I've ever seen in my life. And it was a sort of a purple light mandala that was a peacock. And it was a female peacock, which is kind of weird. Because usually the beautiful ones are the male, but perhaps it's genderless. I don't know, but it was talking to me, and I said, like, wow, you are so beautiful. You are God. And it said to me, I am you. And I was like, whoa.
Oh man, mind blown.
It blew my mind. And so I felt this like unbelievable acceptance and love and pure light divinity, and had this full-on understanding that we are all that thing. We are all like existing in this space, and it may be the place where we go when we die or where we came from before we were born. But you know, others would argue it's just a brain synapse, you know, having a response and releasing DMT from the pineal gland, which releases when you die.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would have that similarity to a near-death experience, because it's essentially releasing the same kind of chemicals in your brain. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. My ayahuasca guest, Andy, I remember him telling me that the spirit that everyone seems to encounter on ayahuasca DMT basically is a female spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you had, which I guess is pretty common.
It could be just sort of the archetype of mother or woman, or softness to it. So it's, you know, it's not like it's not the, like the patriarchy.
Right. Yeah, no, it's like there's nothing more gentle, you know. I mean, it's definitely a more gentle spirit than just, I mean, any male spirit is not going to be as like welcoming as a female spirit, I would think. And, you know, I guess that says a lot about human beings anyway. Everyone knows, I mean, everyone for the most part, like, adores their mother.
Yeah.
And you got a different love for your father. It's still,
yeah, it's a little more practical and right. Distant, perhaps.
I mean, everyone's obviously different. This is all very subjective, but
we are not. Yeah. We're talking about, because yeah, I believe gender is fluid and on a spectrum and maybe, you know, whatever, but in this archetypal sense, the voice in which I heard was soft and lulling and sing-songy, like,
mm-hmm.
Identified as a female.
Yeah. I mean, and it could be as simple as like it's Mother Earth or anything, yeah. Anything like that. It's just that,
creation,
that nurturing presence.
Yeah.
You know, but, it is pretty interesting to think that this place, mm-hmm. where everyone experiences, you know, pretty much something different, but it's like every experience in terms of the who you're running into, mm-hmm. or what you're seeing is different, but what you come away with usually is in the same ballpark as everyone else, you know?
Yeah.
It seems to be. And there was this study done, I guess it was published in 2018, I think, mm-hmm. in London, where they were trying to figure out the correlation between NDEs, mm-hmm. and DMT.
Oh, cool.
And there's a lot of common features. Like people, they talk to people who actually had near-death experiences.
Right. That's important. I have a friend who had one. And so I'm like, she is legit. That's the real deal. I don't even really want to try to touch on it.
Right.
But this study spoke to people who actually, they died, right? They die and like come back.
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what everyone's experience was.
They were like flatlining or something.
But it's whatever their experience was, where they were near death.
Mm-hmm.
They said common features were feelings of inner peace,
yeah.
like an out of body experience or traveling. This is what it says, mm-hmm. traveling through a dark region or void commonly associated with a tunnel, which is kind of what you experienced,
mm-hmm.
and visions of a bright light and mm-hmm. entering another realm and, mm-hmm. and communicating with sentient beings. Sounds like you're talking about DMT, but that's the near-death experience.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
That's what happens to a lot of people. And of course, a DMT trip or any psychedelic trip, depending on, I guess, who it is and what it is, could have mm-hmm. similar things happen. And they basically prove that it does happen. Like DMT, I don't want to say recreates, but it creates the same feelings and visions, basically, which is interesting, because then you start thinking, like what you're saying, if it's a real physical place, because I've talked about this before, like, where do you go when you're like seriously fucking tripping hard? Like, where are you? Is it all bullshit? Is it all made up? And it's just the drug taking hold?
Hallucination. Yeah.
Literal fucking hallucination. Or are you in a real place that actually exists? And I think a lot of people do come away with that feeling that they were in a place that just was positivity. And that's why mm-hmm. people come away from these experiences feeling so good in a way.
Yeah, like a sense of spiritual renewal. Mm-hmm. It's like lifting the veil a lot of times.
Right.
A lot of times it's with psilocybin or LSD or whatever, you're sort of lifting the veil and seeing the divine, like ancient, complex, beautiful, colorful pattern type thing that is, I believe it is, here with us all the time. We just can't perceive it.
Yeah. I was gonna ask about that too, because if it's just basically like another dimension, like a parallel dimension or a parallel universe where, or like a wavelength that we just can't tune into. And then you get that fucking DMT.
Right, because we couldn't live here like that.
Yeah, I mean, we'd ditch this place.
It, totally. Well, okay. So saying that, like, I see it personally as, like, you know, space is infinite. No ending, no beginning. We're, you know, things happen in space. We've got theories about that. But this, to me, this realm is sort of like space. It's sort of like heaven, or like the you know, the other world, which has no beginning and end, which is just pure love, consciousness, creation, acceptance, warmth, all of these things that we want so badly in our human experience, but rarely are able to grasp and hold on to for a period of time. And some people theorize it's like kind of a new agey concept that perhaps we choose throughout our many lifetimes to, you know, have an earthly experience so that we can feel the all the different dark and deep and bizarre things that we feel as humans, because in this other place there isn't any of that. It's all glory, gorgeous beauty, perfection. And so you don't want to leave.
Yeah, you don't.
Like, why would you don't go back?
Why would you ever want to go? Yeah, so if you've never been here on Earth, and
yeah, you might be curious.
You might be curious with all of these sublunary minds. Running around, but it's like you wouldn't know the sunshine if it weren't for the rain, kind of thing.
Exactly.
So you need that contrast, and you need that experience of whatever comes.
Some
with
people say that the human experience is like the universe experiencing itself with consciousness and like an ego, which doesn't exist, I suppose, in this other place. So we have the ability to sort of, you know, reflect on things and analyze and build relationships with other ego beings who are separate from us. Whereas in this place, we are all one.
Right.
We don't have an ego.
Right.
So maybe we're like, hey, it'd be super fun to go hang out on planet Earth and suffer.
Yeah, I feel like suffering. That's
yeah, like I'm so deep, I can handle it. Like I can suffer.
I'm tired of your positivity. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Yeah, I'm like, I need something different. I'm gonna shake shit up. And shake, you know, that's on an earthly level. I mean, that's why people do DMT. They're
precisely
the total opposite. You're tired of the bullshit and you want to experience the positivity.
Right.
But if it's the place where you go when you die, and it's the place where you come from, you know, it's the cyclical thing, and you experience these beings, whether it's a massive gorgeous peacock or these elven
basketballs
yeah, like bedazzled balls, like then I always think about those beings that you are encountering. How do you become one? What do you have to do to never leave that place?
Okay, I have an idea.
Okay.
All right. So I wonder, okay, like the peacock thing that I saw when I went through the tunnel, like that was sort of like the holding space, like the infinity space. And then you're able to travel to these other realms, were these basketball dudes and praying mantis. I think that those are coexisting other worlds in which those creatures do have their own sort of sense of ego and separateness. And like, I sort of think that what people believe are aliens, or what these creatures, these praying mantis things that can make stuff, I kind of think they're like us in the future. They're they're humans, evolved, highly evolved, highly intelligent. But I, you know, I could be wrong.
Oh, well, it's all relative. But
it's all relative. But that's sort of my idea.
Could,
my feeling.
I got a cool visual while you were talking about that. It's like, just in very plain terms, this place where you go and experience these other beings, they could be on their own DMT trip, and you all come together in this, like you said, that kind of holding area, or whatever, bar or ballroom or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you're all just like on this, you're just all there experience on the same wavelength, and you're like, I'm so happy to see you. It's just like on Earth when you're on cocaine and you find another person on cocaine,
we have a great idea.
You're so fucking stoked, like, oh my god, all these people not on cocaine don't want to hang out with me.
They don't know what they're missing.
But you want to hang out with me because we're doing the same shit.
And we're going to write a movie, and we're going to, it's going to be the best movie ever.
I'm going to be the best person in the world tomorrow, and we're going to change everything. But, you know, so it could be just a room full of completely psychotic party people. But, you know, like that.
It seems like, though, it seems like they've been there, and like they know what they're doing in their place.
But if they are they are them, and they are you, and you are them, it's all like,
that's
you,
a good point.
You are,
let me go,
coming,
let me digress
at them
a little bit.
A little bit with that knowledge too.
I think it's more like the holding space is we are all one. And then when you go to these different areas where you see these different kinds of entities, I think they are perhaps separate. But they see something in the human, like pulling out your pain, like giving you a little pain surgery removal. I think they have compassion for us and want to say, like, hey, it's okay. I'm just pull this shit out. You can go back. I don't know.
No, that's interesting. Because what would be more interesting is to have the feeling of being one of those beings. Like, what if you... were in
that
little holding room, and you extracted someone's pain because you were the future being for someone or something that was there.
Archaic.
And what would that experience be?
That would be cool. I wonder if people have had that experience. I imagine some people have.
I mean, what is that? Is that when you talk about breaking through? Is that, I wonder if that's, it could be one of the levels. I mean, I haven't dug super deep into people's DMT like experiences, but it would be interesting if you did go
embody
to this,
them.
Yeah. And you actually became like a healer in that realm.
Yeah.
And that was your thing. Like, you were just going in there and you're fucking,
you know what though?
Helping people.
I think in some ways, when we visit this place, we do come back with an arsenal of healing.
Right. No, that's true.
Some tools.
Right. And a lot of people identify, a lot of people identify as healers of some sort, and probably come back with a stronger sense of that when they, you know, like they, I mean, whether it's like, I mean, they're not going to pull some like witch doctor stuff and heal some physical ailments, but they might be like,
they might
emotional
have
healers.
Some Reiki situation going on.
Definitely could. Or some, know, Mr. Miyagi stuff going on.
Totally. I practice Qigong.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some really magical, mystical things that have happened, and that can have happened all over the world. People in China go to a hospital where they treat you with Qigong and they get healed. Like, man. So I think there's something to it. And of course it could be our human, you know, mind,
mm-hmm.
just saying, oh, you know, it's like a placebo effect.
Right.
But who knows?
Who knows? I mean, that's the beauty of this, or of the world, and it can go anywhere. But the possibilities of learning, I guess, because I know with ayahuasca, it's approached mm-hmm. more as like a medicine, and it's a long yeah. process of
purging and
figuring shit out.
I have so the friend where I procured this DMT from
mm-hmm.
is a bit of a shaman.
Okay.
And he was telling me that ayahuasca, because he wanted me to join him for ayahuasca. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can handle the duration.
Right.
Right now with what I'm going through and stuff. And he said, it's a lot like the short acting DMT situation, but you have more time to explore.
Right.
I thought that was pretty good. And I have seen on YouTube, there's a pretty good, very short documentary this kid made when he went to the Amazon and he's taking the brew. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of, he layers over the room, like visuals like that you would see. And it sounds like what my friend experienced. You're going back into time, into nothingness and civilization, and seeing the pyramids and the everything, and then like right. jungle spirit and leopards and a woman, and they're sort of showing you, teaching you so much, and teaching you about yourself and your pain and your dis-ease, you know. Mm-hmm. I would like to do it. I really would, but I would like to go to the Amazon. That would be cool. But I guess absolutely. You can do it in Taos. There's a guy who will do a ceremony with you.
Yeah. There are folks out there that, you know, you can hire them to,
mm-hmm.
Go on a little retreat.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause from what I've seen, I mean, it's hours long. And if you're really, really in it, days long, you do multiple sits,
right?
And you can go, I don't know,
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, because it seems like
three or five times, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you and however whatever you want to do after that, you can do it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you know? People return
exactly and, when it's calling, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, and it is intense. Like I mentioned this on the ayahuasca episode, the first time I ever heard of DMT, this guy came up in New Orleans that I didn't know. It was a friend of my friend. And he's just like, mm-hmm. yeah, I did DMT for the first time last mm-hmm. night. And they're like, how was that? And he's like, it was like, hey man, here's the whole world.
Yeah.
Just like a few minutes, like, boom. And like,
yeah. It's like, you are struck with all the knowledge, everything. You just know, you come back with just a sort of a knowing,
like, right?
Well, it's like you were saying, you can't necessarily recall it or give yeah. it words.
Well, it's just like you were saying, it's like you kind of get a history lesson of whatever mm-hmm. the earth or it, everything. And yeah, like it's hard to watch a movie or listen to anything and retain all the information. You know, totally. It's like when you binge watch 8 seasons of a show in like 3 fucking days, you're only going to remember a little bit of, but when you're in it, you're like, this is the greatest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
But then when you're done, you can't even remember.
You need to go back and rewatch yeah. what you missed.
Yeah. You can't even remember like half of the characters' names, but
right.
you were so immersed in it. It was just whatever, but
right. Feeling them.
Yeah. But I can see, this thing, I mean, because if it takes you to where it all started or where it all mm-hmm. comes from or just what it all is,
yeah,
and feeling that for just a few moments, that's, I'm sure, what everyone's just so fucking stoked on when they're on this stuff. And then when you come back down, I mean, gravity hits and like the real world hits, and like any high, you're like, oh man, that was great. I'm kind of glad it's over. But
yeah, like, oh, I made it back safely.
Yeah, but man, it didn't last long enough or something. You know, I don't know.
That's the curious thing about it, is that it lasts maybe 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're back. I mean, you're back. Like, slowly the black sort of comes back. You're in the room. Mm-hmm. You're still feeling an afterglow, but you're pretty much sober. back to normal. So you're really not supposed to drink or do other drugs if you're doing this. I know people probably do, but you come back with like a clarity, and you don't feel sick. You don't, you know, it's amazing.
That's pretty great, because I don't really do psychedelics, and I've only done a small amount in my life. I've never done DMT, but the more, like, the length, the duration of it, and the fact that there's really no terrible hangover or whatever makes it way more appealing. But it's a really intense few minutes, so it's
right.
Yeah,
and
how are you going to come away from it?
Yeah. And some people do report like really very terrifying experiences.
Yeah. If you have any mental disorders or any sort of like schizophrenia history or anything like that, you don't want to be, not good. No, you don't want to be fucking with this stuff.
No.
But yeah, like you said, you come back to reality pretty quick, and that's amazing to me.
It is amazing.
That's a miracle. It's like you get like just a shot of everything, and then
okay. So I thought of a point which is related to this. So I don't have it right in front of me. I can't exactly remember, but DMT is dimethyltryptamine. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the natural thing that is secreted from our pineal gland. So essentially you're just putting into your body something which already exists and that your brain already recognizes. So perhaps that could be why we emerge without too much trouble.
It's even hard to take melatonin and not come away from it groggy, you know.
Not sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I also read that certain other drugs are similar in terms of, like, I don't know, euphoria or feelings that you feel to near-death experiences, like ketamine.
Oh yeah, baby.
Which I've never done.
I just did some I have some on hand.
Uh-oh.
I'm a dabbler, okay? I also have a background in psychology. Mm-hmm. And where I think where we're headed is a lot of psychedelic therapy. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest one of the newest, most helpful drugs is ketamine. And of course you do this in the right set and setting, and I believe they give it like intramuscularly. But I had been sort of dabbling with it, testing the effects, and I had kind of a really, really intense sesh before I went to Aruba.
Uh-huh.
I'd already planned to go to Aruba, but I was like, it was like a few hours before my flight.
Oh, whoa.
And I really went somewhere else, but everything was synthesized. Like, my friend was here with me, the music, my room, everything was comfortable and beautiful. And she was talking to me, and like, I was, I, she was saying things that were like memories or something, or she was saying things that seemed like an inside joke. And I was just like, yes, totally. And I got this vibe that like, oh, she's like, she's my homie. Like she is my crewmate. We've been here before. We go to the afterlife together. Like we're, she's part of my pod, my posse, my spiritual posse.
Right. You guys have been many lives together.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's really inspires me all the time. She's a very adventurous, brilliant, caring person. Mm-hmm. So I always feel safe with her doing these sort of psychonaut journeys, but it's not something that I would do on a regular basis for sure. Not.
Right. Yeah, because I think ketamine can get a bit hairy there if you don't watch it. But
I could see someone get getting addicted to it easily.
Right, and but you know, done in a responsible sort of moderated way seems like it could bring upon some feelings of elation.
It really opened me up. It was kind of intense because like I'm going through a breakup where I was feeling like cavalier, strong, like I'm going to Aruba, I don't give a fuck, you know, like take care of myself. Then I did this ketamine and it just like softened my heart and opened my heart so much that I became reattached to my partner. And so perhaps that's a good thing. Perhaps it's not. I don't know. But a lot of these drugs do open us up. Like alcohol opens us up, but it creates confusion, like sickness, whatever. Some of these other types, classes of drugs open us up in a way that is clear, very, very clear.
Right.
So yeah, intense stuff, man.
Yeah. And just the fact that with no drugs, this is the thing about NDEs. Depending on the experience, there's no drugs involved. This is all naturally occurring in your brain. The same feelings that you get from these psychedelic drugs, whether they're synthesized or not, you get these like apparently exact feelings. So
yeah,
it just, I don't know. I love that idea, but I know it seems like some people don't like to do these sorts of things because it's so, if that's what death is, then just wait for death and don't try to like recreate death so many times in your life, which I understand. But
sure,
it also can help people. I've read, and this is why some people come away with a more positive outlook, is they don't fear death as much because they've seen that it's not over.
Yeah. And it's an awesome experience.
Yeah. And you know, some folks, I mean, I want to believe that. I'm not exactly eager to get there, but you know what I mean? It's one of those inevitable things. And you hope it's as a fucking, you hope you're high as shit.
I do. I want to be chilling. I don't want to get smashed. That's my one thing.
Right.
But who knows? Maybe getting smashed is the best thing ever.
But I mean, apparently you get naturally smashed, you know, you're just like,
yeah,
or like as McKenna says, like loaded. I love, one of my favorite quotes that I heard of his is, he's like, is DMT dangerous? And he says, only if you fear death by astonishment.
Yes. Oh, I just got chills. I love it. God, he is so great. He's my guru, man.
He's so excited about explaining, you know, everything that you see and you feel. And
yeah,
yeah, it's,
well, he's like Ivy League linguist and botanist. So this is a man who, this is not some like wacko, like sweet ass wavy gravy. Right. God bless him. You know, he's like, this guy is like, this guy is a sort of, you know, Tim Leary-esque, just very, very brilliant, and gives this information in such a way that makes you not judge it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a real judgment that comes down on oneself and shame and things like that. But to hear him talk about it is like, he's just recording an experience and sharing it with others.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah. It's, there's no harm in it. He's just a little, maybe he's just too big of a freak for the normals.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he talks is like, this shit will make you crazy if you end up talking like this guy. But it's like, but it's so entertaining and light, and he's obviously not out of his mind. It's just like,
no,
but I can see he's where just... people who already have a predisposition to dislike any drugs of any sort could look at him and be like, oh yeah, it'll make you crazy.
Yeah. He's pretty kooky.
He's but like,
pretty wiry
in the best way, it seems.
In the best way. He's just so wise. I love listening to him. Sometimes he does have that also weird voice, and it's like, ooh. I listen to him before bed sometimes, and it like puts me to sleep. I don't know what it is. I know. Can you imagine?
It's
like lecture mode.
Yeah. I don't know if I could go, I could like go to sleep hearing like Noam Chomsky speak, kind of like monotone style. Totally. But McKenna would get me too worked up.
Yeah, it can happen. That can happen.
Well, what do you think about, and this is something I've been thinking about, because I've been told this before and it kind of came up again because I watched this little DMT history documentary. But what do you think about the idea that the whole history of religion and the existence of God as an entity at all is all a result of possible like DMT or psilocybin mushroom?
Yeah, I've read that. Mm-hmm. I've read that Jesus was first experienced as a mushroom or through mushrooms is a theory. I kind of feel like people are born with an innate sense of like, there's something else, right? Mm-hmm. There's also atheism, which makes actually quite a bit of sense to me. Mm-hmm. Makes more sense to me than, you know, I was raised Baptist, very strict Christian background. Mm-hmm. And it never made sense to me. And it was like, if you don't do this, you're bad, you're evil, this, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like country music or something. Like, it's just like not my vibe.
Right.
I'm not into it. It's not hooking me. And so I think a lot of these religions are just man's attempt to understand and control. But there must be some sense of experiencing something divine, right?
Right. And yeah, it's like, what is the history of God, basically? Mm-hmm. Does it come from a knowing source, like knowing sober source? That, you know, it's like this centuries long game of telephone that you hope that has been completely fucking ruined.
Right.
Lost that game a long time ago. But, or was it just like serious, dumb fucking human sitting around like, what's this mushroom? What's this mushroom do? And you know, you eat a mushroom and you're like, fucking see everything. You get reattached to
where you
come from. And then, you know, somehow, I don't know, carve it into a stone tablet or spell it out in rocks or shit or something, whatever you did back then. I don't know.
Right. Well, I think that's part of it. I think the first religions were based on nature and experiencing like the sun, the moon, the stars, night and day. And there's this sun god who has an origin story, much like Jesus and much like the other world religions. So I don't know.
I mean, it could be, you know, to me, it seems like God is the sun. And you kind of humanize in a way or deify or just put a face to it and create a story around it. And that could have all come from tripping balls on some DMT or some psilocybin. You know, it's like to create a narrative that it tries to explain, you know, what the hell, where the fuck it all comes from. And then of course, as time goes on, it gets completely, whatever.
It changes. It evolves.
Manipulated in the most horrible possible ways. But yeah, I mean, I think I kind of buy into the idea that it's possible that God, him or herself, whoever, the whole idea, the word God can all come from a psychedelic experience.
I could see that. I mean, also think about like just being sleep deprived or starving.
That's a free high in a way. People
have visions, you know, or seeing your friend die or what, you know, I think I come from it from a different angle. Like people want to make sense out of suffering and like, oh, what, my friend is dead. I'm going to die. What's going to happen? Right. But I think you're right. I think there's something, even, you know, fermented fruit falling on the ground. These things will give us experiences of levity and, you know, something more than just walking the planet stone cold sober.
Right. Which is boring. Animals don't even do it. You know,
animals
get fucking drunk. They get high. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they do all sorts of stuff to explore, or, you know, it's recreation either way. I mean, they seem to go about it for the same reasons we do as humans.
It's natural.
I mean, you got your naughty jaguar out there that's like, oh, he's high again. But then you got the other one out there that's like staring at the canopy of the jungle, really figuring shit out, you know?
They're like, Rick, get down from there.
But hey, I don't know. I mean, the drugs themselves, I would imagine, take us exactly where it takes that jaguar, you know?
Yeah. Then we are kind of all one. God, I would love to get in the mind of fucking jaguar. Jeez. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I'd rather get into its mind than its belly. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
That's for sure. But so when it comes to all of this, you know, these adventures, these drugs, I guess, that you take from time to time, you dabble in. What would you say what is the goal? You know, like when you approach, are you just chipping away at ultimate knowledge each time, or is it just to like get you through the moment, or is it like, you know what I mean?
I think the intentions are kind of all over the place. you know, like with that ketamine sitch, I was just like, fuck it. You know,
right.
I think we all get to that fuck it place, which Absolutely. Can be dangerous and not great. Mm-hmm. But I also knew there would be some kind of healing going on. But for me with DMT, the intention is actually exactly what you quoted Terrence McKenna. I just want to be astonished.
Right.
You know, and to learn something and, you know, if I ever do ayahuasca, it would be to really be healed and, mm-hmm. Come to some greater spiritual knowledge.
Right.
But yeah. I don't know. Get loaded.
Get loaded. Figure some shit out. I McKenna also explains, he's like, what you experience is like the unspeakable and the indescribable, mm-hmm. you know, that's yeah. amazing to me. And like words, you can only talk about it in so much depth. But
right.
one thing that I thought was really interesting that he said was like, you as a human being, like don't change at all. Like mm-hmm. when it kicks in, it's like reality changes.
Yes.
Like you go, it's hard now that we're talking about it in the terms that we're talking about it. It's like saying you go somewhere else
mm-hmm.
is like tricky in my brain. It's like, mm-hmm. it's real, man. It's like your physical body stays, but you go obviously to a real place, like what has been described as realer than real by people who did this study in 2018. Realer
yeah.
than real, but your physical yeah, body,
like, oh shit, I get it now. It is realer than real.
Yeah, yeah, but your physical body, which is all we know to be real, doesn't go anywhere and doesn't change. But you're experiencing right.
it stays here.
Real shit, the realest of the real, and it's like, all right, so. That is an out-of-body experience. And what does it all
it's
mean?
It's your soul. I mean, it, you know, again, we might have some people listening right now who are like, there's no soul, there's no God, like this is some wacky bullshit. But in my experience, it was like my consciousness. So my brain and heart and gut, I think our consciousness and soul are stored in these places. My body stayed here, but my consciousness and my love and my, you know, the gut feelings kind of went to that place. Mm-hmm. I think so I could perceive. And, you know, all those things have neurons, our heart, our gut, and our mind. Mm-hmm. I think neurons are our connection to the other realms.
Right. So it's just bringing you back. It's just,
it was like sort of like a, what do you call it? Like having one straddling two worlds, mm-hmm. Having a transitional object, like something grounded and something also there away.
Right.
Trippy,
man. I mean, you could look at it as an escape. Or you can look mm-hmm. at it as like a grounding, like a reattachment to like not escaping, like the opposite of like getting back mm-hmm. what you've lost in a sense.
Yeah, it's like going home.
Going home. In a way. Yeah, it's like you're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting away, kind of, but you're trying to bring all of that back together.
Yeah.
So.
There's also like a sort of a maybe like a time traveling aspect. I feel like that's another reason why I want to do it is because I want to go. I want to like go somewhere. I want to travel. I want to go see. I want to learn this new language. I want to see this creature who's making this thing. I just am curious.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, and especially during coronavirus, when you can't really go too much or go too many places without a lot of stress,
right? We've been cooped up, man. Some of us went to Aruba.
Some of us.
Others did not.
Some of us did. But hey, you can.
Hey, I got tested.
You can do it.
I got the Rona.
You can do it all. And you can do it safely.
That's right.
But yeah, man, it's all about. If it's from the oneness that you draw this stuff, it's like you're trying to make yourself one again. You're trying to make yourself whole, and you're trying to feel that whole thing. If something's missing, you go get it, right?
Yeah. I think that we are, that necessity is the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to feel held and seen and come sort of met, deeply met. And this experience does that. You're like, oh, that's right.
There it is.
And then you come back and you're like, okay, I get it. I see that.
Right.
It's a reminder.
You're more capable of feeling that on earth and giving that to someone else.
That someone else
mm-hmm.
is you. it's ourselves.
Right. All the same.
That's what we're looking for is like the true love is it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And being good to yourself and holding your little baby Emily self.
Right.
But I don't want that. I'm like, no, someone else give it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
it is hard because they say like this ego death is a part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
When you kind of break down that separation between whatever. But the thing with being on earth is everyone needs to be kind of on that level for it to work.
Exactly.
Like you could totally bring that to a relationship of any kind, but mm-hmm. if the other person is not receptive or on that wavelength, it's just, you're just, what are you left with? You know?
Yeah. You're just kind of shooting it past them.
You're like, let's do some fucking DMT right now and fix this problem.
Honestly, I would like my partner to, because he's never tried it.
Okay.
And I almost feel like there's like some spiritual constipation or something that DMT can clear. And I think it does. Someone said once, like, oh, it puts you on a different level. Like, you shouldn't do it by yourself if you're in a relationship, because it'll like make you guys on different planes or different. I don't necessarily believe that, but I think there is a certain amount of trust and truth and knowledge that you come back with,
right?
And not, and less fear, you know?
Yeah.
And I think people are afraid of love. People are afraid of success. People are afraid because absolutely. You know why? And they have to take responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up. I got a child trying to come in here. What you doing? Thank you, honey. He said, I'm doing a good job.
Oh, wow. See?
He's the best, man.
That's where you know.
He didn't know what I'm talking about either. So
just wanted to let you know.
Mm-hmm. He's good. So good. He's so supportive. Such a good boy.
That's great.
All the time.
He got a dose of that spiritual diuretic, it seems.
He got it.
Just in the bloodline. I don't know.
It's in the bloodline, man.
Well, yeah. Now you gotta sit down. Now you know who to share that DMT vape with. Not your son. Not your son, but
my pseudo partner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sit down and let me know how it goes. And when you do it, if you do it that way, either way, I want to know. And maybe you can sit down with this thought or this question when you hit that vape pen.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is up with all of these DMT documentaries?
Mm-hmm.
All right. First off, when you see what you see, when you mm-hmm. actually, when it kicks in, mm-hmm. does the visuals in every single documentary about DMT do it any sort of justice, because there's no documentary of any length that I've ever watched about DMT right. that did not try its best to be as psychedelic as possible from beginning to end. And that's not even just the visuals. I even watched one where the voice was manipulated the whole time. Like they were trying to have a trippy voice talking about history. Hmm. Like that's isn't helping bring it home for me.
I get it. I've seen these, like DMT, the spirit molecule and some other things. It doesn't do it justice, but you know who really gets it is the artist, Alex Gray.
Alex Gray.
I think that's his name. He's the dude that does like human bodies that are super detailed and like translucent. You see all the veins and all this and that. And then around them is like spirit, like eyeballs and like ladies having babies and check it out. I think it is Alex Gray. He now, this fucker has a grip on it. He's got this thing called, there's like a church he made, like House of something. And it's got like full-length mirrors that you look into, and they're like his artwork, like it looks like King Tut type stuff. Like there's a lot of Egyptian themes and gold and colors and eyes and repeating patterns, mandala type thing. That is pretty like what you see.
Okay, so if anyone was curious to know possibly what they were going to see if they are going to do DMT, his artwork is a fairly good depiction.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's up there. It's up there. And even just looking at like a straight up mandala, or like the tree of life and the flower of life type thing, there's real geometric repetition and patterns, and it's like that.
It is pretty interesting how much geometry seems to play a part in, because that's what everyone says.
Yeah.
Just about everyone's like these geometrical shapes and these like,
it's like the language of the universe, like the undercurrent of everything.
And that's like a whole other, it's molecules, it's fucking chemistry. It's
exactly
whatever.
Have you heard of that book called The Holographic Universe?
Heard of it?
Or now you did. Now you did.
I've read it twice.
You go, boy.
No, actually, I've never heard of it. What is it?
Okay. Yeah, it's like that. It's like, it's talking about sort of like time. It's a metaphysical book about, I'm just butchering it. But it, like, even just on the cover, there's a picture of like a sort of like bending screen. You know, and I think so much of that, the computers and nature and everything, is sort of on this plane that does have some order to it. And, you know, mathematical shapes can relate to sound and frequencies, and it's a whole other ball game there. We've got to do a show on two times you're going to read The Holographic Universe.
I got to get around to it. I got to take like 6 months off just to find the time to read a book.
Sitting on your toilet, you'll get through it.
It's me time.
That's right. Take it 20 minutes at a time, man.
Until I can't feel my legs.
Yes.
Well,
that's always nice.
Also, I saw this thing about Iranian mosques, like the domes.
Yeah.
That, and you know, the history of just the usage of DMT, like we were talking about religion and just throughout the history of the world. That could, whoever fucking dreamed that up
totally
could have seen it in a
1000%. That's also, look at those great halls, you know.
Amazing.
Sometimes people do enter into big marble-esque rooms with these little tiles, and each tile has so much information. Like that's it.
Yeah. It's just amazing to think about, like, all these tourists go through, children, like whatever, teetotaling, just like sober, whatever folks who don't want to think ladies. People do bad mm-hmm. shit at all. And they're looking at this amazing structure. And then they don't know that it came from a psychedelic drug trip. Probably many.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. Whoever dreamed this up was high as fuck.
Yeah, they had a vision.
They had a vision. They went
definitely
back.
Had a vision from another realm. You know,
which is not
their creativity could be that, you know.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, the quote unquote another, like another realm is
mm-hmm.
It's hard to even call it another realm when it's if it's supposedly where we all come from anyway. It's like
right. And it's like co-occurring, it's like happening. That's why I think of it as space. Like we're right, on this right. little thing within this infinite darkness and light, and it's quite space-like.
Right. That's yeah, it's there. You can't see it, but you can get there and access it. And it's always there.
And Elon Musk is gonna take you there.
Oh man, I can't wait. I really can't.
Well,
is there anything else concerning DMT that you would like or an NDE or anything you want to bring up?
Not that I can think of right now. I think we have wrapped this up in a neat tiny package.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's just perfect as is. Unless you think of something, and then you know, I got to get back to you on my little vape pen, how that thing works and how it may or may not affect my relationship with this love of mm-hmm. mine.
Right.
Hopefully he'll do it. He might also be like, I'm not going to do it. Whatever. It's his choice.
I'm curious either way.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
But the language, it's the language of love. It seems so. Good
truly.
Luck. Good luck. And
thank you.
You know, but don't force it, you know.
No, definitely not. That would be like the worst.
The
like,
worst.
I'm going to, without your consent, you are going to this place.
Just don't tell them what it is.
Yeah, totally. Cause you know what? Actually, I'm going to have to use his vape pen. I'm just going to take the cartridge out mm-hmm, and put, that's all I have.
There you go.
The cartridge in. So yeah, I'll just be like, man, this is some good stuff.
Oh man, just Grateful Dead his ass.
I feel like I did turn him on to those guys. So if I could do that, I can do anything.
Oh no. Oh man, please don't do that. And don't anyone else do that. That is not cool. I'd be so pissed if someone did that to me.
No, yeah, no, we won't
you know,
do that.
After
we
I won't do that. After I come down from having the time of my life, I'd be upset.
Yeah, I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. That wasn't cool.
You changed my life for the better, but that was fucked up.
Yeah.
That was rude. Could have
How
done it better.
Rude. I agree. Yeah.
Well, good luck. Like I said, Emily, it was good having you back.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Nice to talk with you about this.
Yeah, man. And we'll talk soon.
All right.
Yeah.
Peace
wanna,
out, dog.
Peace. I want to hear some of those Aruba stories. So
just imagine being on a real bumpy, dusty road on an ATV, speeding like crazy. That's it.
All right. I'm there.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you. Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right. There it is. There it was. Donut and the Dingus do it again. Thank you, Emily, for being here with me. I truly appreciate it. And thank you all for listening. If you have any opinions, if you got any stories that are relatable concerning DMT or NDEs or anything in the grand scheme of things, what the fuck are we doing here? You know, I would love to hear from you. And you know, there's a one-stop shop now, LostRhetoric.com. I mentioned it in the intro. There's links to my email, my Instagram, my Twitter, all that on the website. But just to spell it out, you can email me at LostRhetoricPodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at Lost Rhetoric Podcast, and that brand new Twitter is at @Lost_Rhetoric. So follow, like all of that shit, write me, say anything, and get on LostRhetoric.com and check out the store and see if you like any of that merchandise and might want to, you know, put it on your body. I don't know. Maybe you want to walk around sporting something that says Lost Rhetoric. That'd be pretty fucking cool. So thank you all for being here with me. Thanks again to Emily for being here. And that's it for the week, folks. I'll be back next week. And until then, what can I say? What can I say other than stay sane and stay safe?